which is found on article page 980. Vayu Ekev Tishmeun. First of all, we have to know why is it written in the language Ekev. Ekev is translated as im, if you're going to listen, if you're going to hearken. Basically saying, the first pasuk, if you're going to hearken, Vayu Ekev Tishmeun, Esa Mishpatim Oela, these ordinances, Ushmartem, and you'll observe them, Vasisem Oisem, and you'll do them, then Hashem, Veshomer Hashem Oikecho, Vecho Hashem will remember as a breeze the covenant, the chesed, the kindness, as Shinish Balav Yisecho that he promised to your forefathers. Yeah? If you're going to keep the Torah, basically, that's the idea. If you're going to hearken to the laws, then Hashem is going to listen to you and give all the blessings that's coming out. So he uses the word Ekev, which is not the common word for the word im. If normally the word should be im. So therefore there are a couple of different interpretations of the word Ekev. The Targum Unkelos writes down Chalav, be as exchange, as a reward, like that's the translation that Rabbi Asko brings down. We find another interpretation for the word Ekev, which is by Yaakov. Yaakov's name, in the beginning of Toldos, is written there that his name is called Yaakov, because his hand was holding Be'ekev Ochiv, in the heel of his brother. Yaakov is called Yaakov, because it says on Pashas Toldos, which is on page, if you take a look, on page 127, 126, says afterwards came out his brother, V'yadu Chazes Ba'kav Esav, and his hand is holding on the hill of Esav. So therefore, Rashi writes down why is it written the word Ekev. Rashi is bothered by the reason the word Ekev. So Rashi says, Ima mitzvahs kalos, if the easy mitzvahs, she'odom dosh ba'kevav, that a person usually steps, that he explained that this is an easy mitzvah that's for him. The explanation they give is Shiluach HaKan. You find a bird's nest. That's a mitzvah that really doesn't cost you anything. And you basically, it's an easy mitzvah to do. And those mitzvahs you will do, then you will get the reward. In other words, the Kli Yoker doesn't agree with this. The Kli Yoker says, if you take a look at Lasek's Parsha ends 978 and Pasuk number 11 says, "V'shomarta mitzvah, you should save, observe the mitzvahs, as achukim, the decrees, v'samishpatim, and the ordinances." And here it says only Ekev Tishmeun, only the ordinances. What happened to the chukim? What happened to the decrees? So therefore, the Kli Yoker says the opposite. The Kli Yoker says that the mitzvahs we tend to step on are the chukim, the decrees. Mitzvahs, the difference between chukim and mishpatim is the chukim, we don't know the reason, and mishpatim is socially things that we will do, ordinances that normally do not steal, where normally you would assume, even for society, that you do it anyways, that you find a very easy reason for it. And chukim are the ones like shatnez, woolen linen, or like other kinds of mitzvahs, paraduma even, all kinds of mitzvahs that are considered chukim that we don't know the reason, even though they are for sure reason. And those mitzvahs we tend to step on, because it's not convenient to understand. Something that your mind can't understand, it's very hard for you to know exactly what it means.
Except the social ones, you said you would do anyway.
You do anyway, so therefore there's... So, but therefore you don't get such a reward.
Oh,
you'll get the reward for doing the ones that you step on, which are usually not considered the easy ones. Because this you don't step, this will be considered the hard ones, according to Kli Yoker, the opposite, and that it connects it. It says, since it's not a chukim, so Ekev goes on the word chukim, the one you trample on, goes on the word chukim. Another interpretation of the word Ekev is that you know that the Gemara writes down that schar mitzvah by al maleke. That a reward for a mitzvah, God doesn't pay a reward for mitzvahs in this world. So how can he say Hashem is going to keep you and is going to love you and is going to give you all this stuff if God doesn't pay the reward for mitzvahs in this world. So therefore he says, that's why Hashem writes down the word Akev, Vayu Akev. You're not getting the reward of the mitzvah itself. You're getting the reward of the hill, of the walking to the mitzvah. That's why you're getting the reward because of the hill. Not the mitzvah itself, you get a reward in the next world. But the struggle, the effort you put in on your mitzvah, how far the shul, the Gemara says that schar that you get for walking to shul, that's what you get the reward. And some translate that the reward comes v'hoyo, the Gemara writes down v'hoyo, is always lashon simcha, is always a lashon, a language of happiness. V'hoyo always means happiness, v'hihi is sadness. In v'hoyo is always happiness. So he says v'hoyo ekev tishmon, if you're going to listen to the God through happiness. By the way, the word v'hoyo is initials yud hei vav hei, is the letters of yud kei vav hei, which is the name of God. Yeah, so therefore it says, "V'hayo, if you're gonna do it b'simcha, then you're gonna get a reward. You do it the mitzvah, and you don't get. You do it anyways, you may not get as many rewards. As a matter of fact, according to some interpretations, we even get punished. Even if you make the mitzvahs, according to Kotzke Rebbe, even if you make the mitzvahs, but we don't do it out of simcha, we get punished. That's why it translates the pasuk on page 1082 on the middle of the Teichacha. I'm sorry, it's 1080. I'm sorry, it's 1080. Pasuk number 46, 47 says, Tachas asher levata Hashem lakenu besimcha, bekecha besimcha, because you did not serve Hashem your God amid gladness and goodness of heart. It doesn't say because you didn't serve God. It doesn't say you didn't serve God. You did serve God, but you didn't do it amid gladness and goodness of heart. It came a Shabbos and you're barely looking at the clock to see what time Shabbos is over. You know, saying, oh, another Shabbos, now I'll be locked up again. So that's, you know, that even though technically you do get a reward for the mitzvah, but the reward for that mitzvah probably is not as great. So vayu, you want to get rewards in this world, it only if you do it b'simcha. Vayu, you do b'simcha, then you get reward in this world. Another time it's written again, another time Pasha is told, there's also written the word Ekev. There it says, Ekev asher shoma Avram eskoili. It says, because Avram hearkened to my voice, God is telling, page 128, Pashas Feldes, God is promising Yitzchak that he's gonna make him wealthy. Why? Ekev asher shama Avram bekoli, because Avram listened, obeyed my voice. And here the Gemara brings down that Rabbi Yochanan says that Avram was 3 years old when he recognized God. Why? Because the numerical value of the word Akev is 172, and he lived 175, so he said, Avram listened to my voice for 172 years. Yeah, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation to give down, it's really 172 also, but it has to do with the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, there are 172 words. The first Ten Commandments, there's 172 words. So if you're going to listen, Akev, Asher Shom Avram, Avram listened to the 172. That's why I'm giving him this reward, because he listened to 172. So it could be also, V'hoy will be Ekev Tishmo, if you listen to the whole Ten Commandments, which according to a lot of interpretations, even Machoikas, a lot of interpretations, all the Torah is encompassed, is summarized by the Ten Commandments, by the Ten Vaseres Adibrois. So it could be V'hoy Ekev, if you're going to be 172, if you're going to keep that stuff as Tishmoon, then God is going to give you all the rewards if you keep the whole 172. Another interpretation is brought down by the Rachaim. It's very interesting that Akev means a hill, and hill is humility. And the Rachaim is also bothered in somewhere else. He asks the question, why is it in this Tishme'un? Why doesn't it say Tishme'u? Right? It doesn't say Tishme'u, it says Tishme'un. If a nun at the end. Why does it have to say the nun at the end? So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to achieve only 49 levels of wisdom. Because it's written, Pasuk v'tachasreu ma'at melokim, that you made them a little less than God, than godliness, and godliness would be 50 the level of wisdom, and he only achieved the 49th level of wisdom. So, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you, v'hoyu will be, Moshe Rabbeinu is written, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person in the world. But he's telling you, v'hoyu eker, If you're going to be humble, then tishmeu nun. You'll be able, Hashem will give you the 50th level. If himself couldn't reach it, but he's telling you, if you are going to be humble, then Hashem will give you the 50th level of Kedusha, which is Tishmu Nun. Nun numerical value is 50. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, if you tell Aleph is 1, Beis is 2. And if you follow that, that 10, 20, Yud is 10, Kaf is 20, Lamed is 30, Mem is 40, Nun is 50. So if you're going to reach in, if you're going to reach the Tishmu, if you're going to be humble, then you'll be able to reach the 50th level of holiness. Tishmu is listen. Now, with Vayu Akev, if you be humble, then Tishmu Nun. You'll be able to listen to the 50th level of wisdom. Now you can't, but when you get better, you'll be able to get to the 50th level of Kedusha. Okay? Another interpretation is that we know the certain Akev is mean the end. Akev is the hill, and the time of Mashiach is called Ikves the Mashiach. The hill of Mashiach. So he says, Vayu Akev, in the end of times, basically in the hill of times, then Tishmos Mishpotimera, then all this blessing will come true, then you'll be able to listen to all these things that's telling you. It's written in the plural, and then it goes to the singular. Yeah? Take in the plural, take a look, you observe this perform. In English you can't say, you can't see, but it says, Vayu Akev Tishmeun is a plural. Esam Ishpotem Ailev Shmartem is plural. Vasisem Oisom Yodudam is plural. Then, the Shomer Hashem Elokech Alecha as a bris. Hashem will hearken to you the covenant. It's singular. Doesn't say Lachem, doesn't say Hashem will hearken to you guys. So they explain how people come to Minyan and they daven together. But each separate person has his own request, right? They explain the reason that tefillah, the tzibur, that the davening of minyan is better than tefillah b'yachid, that with a whole minyan maybe you get one tefillah, one prayer, because one person wants panasa, the other person wants is sick, he has a son sick, so you want something else. He wants healing. The other person wants is a little slow. He wants more brains. So if you have a minyan together, maybe you'll get one full tefillah, complete tefillah. So therefore he said, the Akev Tishmi, if you collectively will do all these things, then Hashem will give individually, because each one does for every reason a person does, each one has an individual request, which is not a collective request. So that's what he's saying, even if you do it everything together, then Hashem will be able to do it. And like we mentioned before, that the Akev symbolizes the 172, that the Ten Commandments, we mentioned the 630 mitzvahs, are included in the Ten Commandments, and it's impossible for a single person to do all 630 mitzvahs. Why? Because there's mitzvahs of Kehana, mitzvahs of there's a lot of different mitzvahs. Mitzvahs of Levi, mitzvahs of Nazarites, which you, actually you can do it. So how do we do it? By collectively, we're all collectively doing it, the Akev Tishmon. You only could do it if you do it in the plural. And then Hashem will individually consider to each one as you kept the mitzvah yourself. In other words, the only way to keep all the mitzvahs is by doing it together in the plural. And then individually Hashem will give you, for that, consider it like each one kept the covenant, and Hashem will keep to you the covenant that he made to you personally. It says, Pasuk number 14, it says, Baruch tiyeh mikol ha'amin, you'll be blessed from all the nations. You'll be the most blessed of all the people. That's what Rabbi Azko translates. Lo yeh v'cha akot v'akara v'emtecho. There won't be infertile male or infertile female, and in your animals. First, there was a connection. You'll be blessed from all the nations. You won't be these things if you have to understand what the connection is. And second of all, the question is, Pasuk number 13 says that Hashem will bless you, multiply you, and he'll bless the offsprings of your cattle, of your womb, by the offspring of the offsprings. The previous pasuk, bless you, multiply you. He'll bless the fruit of your womb, which normally means children. So why does he have to be redundant that there won't be a akar, bakara, there won't be a infertile male or female. The Talmud, because of this question, Talmud learns lo yibcha okor vakora. It means to say that no prayer will be infertile. That since we know this written that the call called Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov and the hand of Esav. So when the voice of Yaakov, then the hand of Esav cannot do. So Hashem is telling you, be blessed from all the nations because your prayers will not be infertile. In other words, your tefillahs will not be infertile. That's the second pasuk is talking about your prayers. Because about actually having fruit of the womb is already written clearly that you will get.
In animals.
Yeah, but that's what Gemara brings down. So the interpretation they bring down is that the Gemara brings down that one of the reasons that Rivka didn't have any children is because Hashem didn't want the prayers of the Rasha, the prayers of Lavan when Rivka left. Ravam gives a blessing that you, my sister, you should be the Alpha Revab, you should be a myriad of thousands. So people shouldn't say that the blessing of the Pashas Chayshara. Yeah? On Pasuk number 118, Pasuk number 60. Yes, it says, Lavan, Hoseinu, our sister, Atayi, you should be Alpha Lafim, Laf Revava, you should be a myriad of thousands. So the marriage brings down, which is that's the reason that she didn't have any children, because of the, they shouldn't say that the tefillah of this Russia, that's what caused it to have children. Yeah? So, that's why you didn't have children. So that's what he's telling you. Baruch tiyah mikol amim. You'll be blessed. All the nations will bless you. But don't worry. Still, even if they bless you, lo yivcha okor vakora. To be reinstated. Even if they bless you, you're not going to be barren. In other words, you're still going to have children. Even though before we saw that if the goyim bless you, Hashem tries to refrain the blessing from coming through. That's why Rivka didn't have children until Yitzchok blessed for her. But he says, now baruch tiyah, don't worry. You'll be blessed. Hashem will still give you children. That's why to be reinstated. No interpretation is Baruch Tiyah Mikol Amim. You'll be blessed. Why? Mikol Amim. God is going to see all the other nations, what they're doing, and then he's going to compare it to you, and then you'll be blessed. In other words, we'll be blessed on the curve. Maybe you're not going to be as well as we are, but nonetheless, we will be blessed because Mikol Amim, because of all the nations are doing. Then Hashem will give you the blessing. I'm going to skip a little bit. There's an interesting pasuk here. And first of all, in pasuk number 26, 92 and 26, there's a quick comment. It says, right? You should not bring toeva. You should not bring abomination to your house. So the Talmud, the Kishos Levi brings down, the Barditcher brings down, that since it says Toavas Hashem called Vaylev, that it's abomination to God anybody who is haughty. So he says, even though the pasuk normally tends to speak about idolatry, and the Talmud writes down that call anybody who is called Misgoe, anybody who is haughty is considered like he does idol. He considers himself for idol, right? Because that's why he's haughty. He's the man. So, when the pasuk says "toevel besech," not bring abomination, means do not bring somebody who is haughty to your house, or do not bring yourself. If you're haughty, you transgress that law too, because it's considered abomination. Said David Melech says, "Ki toevel Hashem kol gvaleiv," that's abomination to God. Everybody who is haughty. The other pasuk says. Interesting thing, pasuk number 3. Dayan ho afflicted you, ve'arivecho, he made you hungry, ve'achil chasaman, he gave you to man. Right? So the pasuk is telling you that the man made you hungry and afflicted you for the man. The man. Right? It says before also, the pasuk before, you should remember what Hashem took you out. Ashalicha Hashem kiach ozer b'mishon b'midbar. He took you 4 years of death. L'ma anoyischa, to afflict you, l'nasoyischa, to test your adas Hashem b'levavcha, to know what's in your heart. Hatisho mitzvoyischa emloi. If you're going to follow Hashem's commandment or not. First of all, why is the man called, a simple interpretation, why is the man called afflicted you and made you hungry? Yeah? So since the man fell every day, so you couldn't, you know, the simple interpretation, since the man fell every day, you couldn't know what you're going to get tomorrow. Right? So therefore you are afflicted. You don't know how you're going to support your children the next day. Right?
But it comes every day.
Well, but usually a person, the fact that the person, the Gemara is down, that two people are walking on the way, on the road, a person that has food in his pocket is less hungry than the person who doesn't have food in his pocket. Because he knows any time, or if you have water, you know any time you could drink, then you're able to stand longer. If you don't know, you can't eat, then all of a sudden becomes, you know, I'm very thirsty. Like Yom Kippur. You know, a lot of times people don't eat breakfast by day. But since they know they could stop by and eat breakfast anytime they want, they'll wait. But all of a sudden comes Yom Kippur, you can't eat. All of a sudden in the morning, oh, I'm starving already. Where is my breakfast? I can't believe I can't eat, you know? That's what it is. Because psychologically, if you have your cupboards are full and you have food, even though you're not going to eat now, but you know anytime you want, you're ready to eat. So Gemara is down, that's not the same somebody who has pas basil or somebody who has bread in his pocket, that somebody who doesn't have bread. So automatically become more hungry. And the reason Hashem did it is because of the kindness of Hashem. Hashem wants us to pray to Him every time. Basically, they explain that the Dublin Maggid brings an example. Is there was the son once, the king once had a son, and he decided to give the son money for a year. Okay, here's money for the whole year, and keep the money for a year. So what happened? The son never came back to him for the whole year. He didn't come back to him because he had the money. So the king longed to see him. So what did he do? Decide, I'm going to give you money only for a day. So yet every day you have to come back to see me. So that's the idea of Hashem giving us food every day. So every day we require to come to see God. God's required to see us. And we require to be mispalled to Hashem to give us food. Yeah? That's why they say that the snake was cursed, that she should eat dust all her life. So that's a question. Dust, it's a great thing to eat dust all your life. You always have parnas. Dust is everywhere. You don't have to worry about parnas. So they say, yeah, that's exactly what Hashem wanted. Hashem didn't want to hear from the snake. So he says, hey, give him parnas just as long as he doesn't talk to me. I don't want to see my face. Take care of him, but I don't want to see my face. So that's one explanation, that's what it was. But what Vayancha normally Vayarevecha means he made you starve. So how do you make you starve? So they explain that the man, the pasuk before says the man was telling a person what a person has in his heart. If a person had a very long flowing white beard and he acted very righteous, but yet privately he sinned, so his man would fall far from the door. Talmud says that depending on the level of the person, some people the man fell by the door. Some people the man fell a little bit further, and some people the man fell in the field. So he had to go in the field. So a person that sinned, and all of a sudden his man didn't fall in his door, fell in the field, he was embarrassed to go pick it up. Because everybody's gonna know what happened, that even though he looks like a big rabbi, but he's gonna go. So what is automatically he would do tshuva. But that day he would need. So therefore the man it caused you to starve. Because of your embarrassment, because you didn't want to go out in the field, so you would starve. So therefore it says, Vayach v'yirvecho v'achil chazaman. The interesting midrash here, the midrash says, I'm going to translate the midrash, and I'm going to focus first in the later part, and then maybe in the first part. The midrash says that Vayancha, the midrash says, that God afflicted you with the road. Vayarivecho, He starved you from eating fish. Vayachil chazaman, He fed you the man. Mikan, from here you learn that women should women require to light the candles on Shabbos. So they ask, what's the connection between eating the man and women feeding Shabbos? So they bring down, the Gemara brings down that Asuma, a blind person, he's never sated. Gemara Yumada find out on the base brings down that a blind person is never sated. Why? Because a lot of the way a person is satisfied is from the presentation of food. In other words, if you have a full plate, some people have a full plate, some people is the decorated plate, regardless how the food tastes, if your presentation is very nice, automatically your mind assumes that the food is going to taste as well as the presentation. So a lot of the satisfying becomes from the presentation. The man tasted like anything you wanted to. But nonetheless, it had only one texture and one kind of food. You have to visualize your food, you remember your food, then the man will taste like it. It had one texture. And therefore it's considered it afflicted you, because since it didn't have the presentation, you were never sated from the man, like a blind person is not sated when he doesn't see the food. He doesn't know where the food is, so he keeps eating it. So therefore we know the reason for Sholem Bayis is, the reason for the candles is Sholem Bayis. Right? So we should be able to see the food, so should not go over. So why do we have to see the food? Because of the man. Because it says the man is considered afflicted you, because he afflicted you because you can't see the shape of the stuff that you're eating. You can't see the presentation. So from where you learn that Shabbos, you have to have onyx Shabbos, the only way to have onyx Shabbos is by having candles. Because you have to see the food, because the man, even though it tasted like anything, but you didn't see it, even though you have the food in front of you, if you can't see it, then it's considered affliction. So therefore, you learn that a woman is supposed to light candles on Shabbos. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation I saw from the Ksav Sofer brings down that the Torah brings down that the reason the mitzvah is for women to light the candles on Shabbos is because women extinguish some of the light of the world. Yeah, they caused Eve, going back all the way back, she's always the guilty one, right? Eve, when she caused death to come to the world, so she extinguished some of the light. So therefore, she's the one that's incumbent to relight the light. The reason we do two candles is one is for Zohar, the other one is for Shomer. In other words, to remember and keep Shabbos. Yeah, there's two, you unite both the positive and the negative. One is a positive law, one is a negative law. That's why you do both two candles. That's why, by the way, just a sidebar, some people have a custom, even though it says that you should add more candles, like depending on how many people you have in the house, you have other candles, there's a custom to keep two candles separate because of this. Because since the whole idea that it brought down is Zohar v'Shomer, that you should know these two commandments. If you had four candles, then you forget about that commandment. So therefore, you should always try to keep two separate. The custom in our house is that we do two of oil, olive oil, and the rest we use other kind of candles, because the olive oil is supposed to signify Zohar v'Shomer, and the rest we put, for whatever reason, could add and deduct. But it's brought down that people should try to distinguish the two candles separate to make because Zohar v'Shomer. So the problem is like this. After man sinned, we know that Gemara brings down that when the men were under Mount Sinai, when everybody was under Mount Sinai, then death was abolished from the world. And then, all of a sudden, they did a golden calf, right? Death was reinstated to the world. So the question they ask is, if that is so, then the whole reason that we're saying is that Eve caused death to come to the world, right? But all of a sudden, by Mount Sinai, death was abolished from the world. So then women shouldn't require to do anymore, because women didn't do the golden calf. Right? Women, they shouldn't require to do anymore because they didn't do the golden calf. So why, after the golden calf, why is still the mitzvah for a woman to do it? I understand the period between creation, between Eve and Matan Torah. I understand. But why after that women are still required to light the candles if they didn't sin and technically it was abolished that from the world? Goes again, if it's true that the women stop, so how come they're not abolished? So the brings down that we see clearly that only the schus Torah, the schus from receiving the Torah, that's what put our respite on the decree. The decree was there that protected from the decree, and as soon as it was taken off, it came back to the old decree. How do we know that? Because when man originally sinned, God says that from now on you're going to have to work the land. But yet, when the woman sinned, by the golden calf, we still had the same manna. Hashem still gave the same manna. Hashem didn't say, now you're going to work the field. We still received the same gifts. So when there you see that the sin, it was just a respite from the sin. It wasn't like a new sin. That's what it says. I gave you the man. And the man still fell after the golden calf. So that shows that the original sin is still there. So from here you learn that the women still have to light the candles. Because that proved that it's not the fact that we got the manna and we didn't have to work for a living like we had to work originally, like the original decree for the foul sin. After the golden calf, we didn't have to go. So that shows that the decree was there. It was just a respite, and that respite was taken away by the golden calf. So then it was reinstated to the old position of woman's fault. Therefore, the women, since we got continue getting the man and we didn't lose from that, therefore, the women was considered that they had to lose, that right. Another interpretation, which is a little more complicated. I don't know if I should do it, but people who like a little Kabbalah will like this interpretation. The interpretation goes, the Gemara in Soita brings down that when and that has to do also because it says that he starved you from eating fish. So the Medrash brings down, the Medrash says, Vayan, okay, Pasuk number 3, Vayan, who afflicted you and let you hunger. Vayarivech means he starved you. He made you hunger. Rav is hunger. He made you hunger. So the Medrash brings down, Vayarivecho, from fish. Yeah? Why? From medogim, from fish. So what's got to do with fish, and how do you learn from there that women have to light candles on Shabbos? So it's written that the merit that we got out of Egypt was because of merit of the righteous woman that they came out in the fields. And they brought food for the men, and they enticed the men to have relationship. Right? That means that the person in the bottom, which normally is the later person, enticed the person. God gave us the world. God wants us to work here, and through our working the world, in other words, through the bottom. For the bottom working, Hashem will give from heaven things. So we have to wake up, do the awakening in the bottom, for Hashem to give us from the top. Yeah, right. In other words, we have to do our deeds here in the bottom of this world, for Hashem to give us the things in top. That's called in Zohar lingo. It's called Isoreres de Letata, in other words, Isoreres from the bottom, and Isoreres de Lamata means the waking up from the top. In other words, we awaken the heavens through our awakening here. And the same thing it was by the women during Egypt, that they awakened the men, because the men, normally the man goes after the wife. And there, that's what happens, that's what they were meritors, because they followed the same thing that happens normally. they follow the same thing that happens in the normal cycle of life, that the bottom is supposed to awaken the top. It's written also, by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos brings down, if you take a look at the Hebrew letters, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, they all are facing out. The Aleph faces, the Beis faces the Gimel. In other words, the shape of the letter. In other words, it's not like one looking backwards, like a C. Now, like we say a C or the, like two parentheses that face each other. But here, the Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, the Beis faces the Gimel. The Gimel faces a Dalet, right? Because they all have their back. As a matter of fact, the Gemara brings down in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet, the Gemara brings down that all the letters are like this. The Gemara brings down that I heard things written, see, they don't face back. No letters face back.
Right.
All face one direction. The Beis faces the Gimel, the Gimel faces the Dalet. So he says, the Gimel faces the Dalet. Gemara says, why? It's Goimel Dalet. It's supposed to be the Gimel, the leg. See, the leg is a leg running towards the Dalet, which a person, Gomel, a person who is doing tzedakah, is supposed to run after the poor. And written the little head of the Dalet a little backwards, the little head here backwards, the Dalet has a little point going backwards, because it should be found. But nonetheless, you don't want the poor person to be embarrassed, so he doesn't have to face the person before. So each one before is giving to the next level. Yeah? The Gemara brings also down, the Gemara in Tainus, that Shemesh b'Shabbos, that the sun shining in Shabbos, is tzedakah for the poor. Yeah? The Rashi writes down simply there, Rashi writes down, is because since the poor aren't usually used to eating good food, and Shabbos everybody invites them, that's a simple interpretation, that Shabbos everybody invites them, so his stomach cramps, and the sun heals stomach cramps. That's what Rashi goes in a simple interpretation, that's in Tanas of Chesmut Bey, that's what Rashi writes down there. But they write down a different interpretation. They say that now, since the sin of Eve, right, the light of the world became diminished. And Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos, we get Me'ein Olam Haba. So Shabbos, technically, we don't need outside light, because the light of the Shabbos itself should revive us. Because the light is supposed to be so big, you should feel the light of Shabbos. So why does the sun shine on Shabbos? Because that's tzedakah lanim. For people who are full of sins, they don't realize poor. They poor people, not pure monetarily, pure spiritually. So people who don't know so much what's going on, so those people that the light, it comes to the sun, comes to, is a tzedakah for them. It's a kindness for them. At night, where we don't have, when we don't have the light of the sun, so you have to light the candles. So the candles are a way to connect the bottom to the top. Right? The manna, when the manna fell for nobody had to ask anything, the manna fell automatically. Hashem promised us, regardless of what you're going to do, you don't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, we're at a level that we couldn't do anything when we came out of Egypt. Hashem gave us manna. So manna is the heavens giving without the bottom waking up. It's outside of the order. Right? Normally the order goes Gimel Dalet. Right? But here, the order becomes Dalet Gimel.
Why?
Because then the person that's giving you, in other words, normally we do something and God answers. And here God gave, and without asking, right? In other words, we have to be embarrassed that we got something for free. The same thing would be like the poor person would turn around, right? Like the Dalet would come before the Gimel. Like we said, the Gimel Dalet means that God, that God gives us food first. So that's why also when the Jews complained, the Jews says, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt free. The Chanaz Adaga, because there it was reversal. There we remember the fish that we said the woman actually brought fish, right? The dog or the fish that we ate free, and that we says now our soul is dried up. Nashenu yevesha, Now, from this breath, our soul is dried up. The word Yevesha is the word Visha, which is now you're embarrassed. We remember we ate for free, now we're embarrassed that we like to do something for it. We don't like to do, we like to be able to work for it. So that's what he's saying, that now that we got the man, Hashem made you starve from fish. Because you didn't have the fish, you didn't have, it was reversed, the order was reversed. Because you had like, that's why the man actually is bringing down, the man didn't taste like fish. That's why they remember the fish. And that is a remes, from the man is a remes, that we, since we didn't have that, that's why we know that women have to, are bringing the bottom and the heavens, they're uniting it together to write the candles of Shabbos. For the candles of Shabbos, they unite the bottom realms to the top, even though Shabbos is Meir Olam Haba and we get the light for free, but since we are on a level that we are poor, and we are still there, therefore we are uniting the bottom light with the top light. In other words, the candles of Shabbos, which unites the Zohar V'Shomer, which is the positive and the negative. In other words, we're doing something and then we unite heaven and earth to make it together. So that's why women do the job, because they are the original conduit. They are the ones, original conduit of Mitzrayim, not like the other one that's bad, but here is good because they're the original conduit where they are awoken the bottom to get the light from the top. So therefore, Shabbos, for people who don't know, so we awaken the light in the bottom to be able to receive the light from the top, from Shabbos.
Why are we thinking that you're not supposed to use the light?
You're supposed to use Shabbos specifically. You are supposed to use Hanukkah. You're not supposed to use. Yeah, you are confusing. Hanukkah is one, and you don't have to. You can't use the light, and Shabbos is the one that you should use the light.
Okay.
Here's a pasuk number 8, page 982, number 8. Says Eretz Chita Soira, land of wheat and barley. The gaffin and grape, taina, fig, verimoin, and pomegranate. Eretz, a land, zayit shaman, of olive oil, udvash, and date honey. Yeah? These are, there is five first, and then there is two which are byproducts. They're not actually the products themselves. First, they are wheat, barley, grape, fig, and pomegranate, and then they're just byproducts. Oil and date honey. Honey from dates. So they ask a question, why? So they explain that since the Gemara writes down that olive itself is not good, olive oil is good. Olive makes you forget Torah, and olive oil makes you remember Torah, because since olive is something that you don't have to work hard, you don't have to grind, you don't have to beat, you don't have to work, therefore you forget. And olive oil is a byproduct, so therefore it's good. So therefore, as it's all is considered a byproduct. The same thing the Gemara brings down, that Ulo came to Bavel, and he saw that a whole basket of dates were azuz, a dollar, let's say. So he says, a whole basket of fruit, of dates, and nobody, and they don't learn Torah, they got fruit for so cheap, and they don't learn Torah. At night he had diarrhea from all this good, from the fruit that he ate, and then he said the opposite. So much fruit, people eat so much, and they could still learn Torah? So therefore you see that the dates themselves aren't beneficial for your body. The only beneficial is the byproduct, dvash. So therefore, Hashem is not glorifying Eretz Yisrael. It's not glorifying if the product itself is telling you, this is the byproduct. I'm glorifying myself only if the byproduct that comes out. But because the Gemara is not that honey, sweet things make your heart long for Torah. Yeah? Desserts. That's what you choose, like dessert, because it'll make the heart long for Torah. Also, I say that dvash, the initials of dvash, is deyo beino v'seichel. Deyo means wisdom. Three kinds of wisdom we pray that we should get: the knowledge, wisdom, and then to learn things from other things. That seichel. So you have to have all three kinds. Dvash is the initials. Deyo beino v'seichel. Yeah, dvash is honey. Is considered the initials. Deyo beino v'seichel. Pasuk number 5 says, "You should know in your heart, like a person would afflict his children, so Hashem will afflict you." Yeah? Pasuk number 5. So the explanation the Ibn Maggid brings down, the simple explanation, is that when you discipline your children, if you want to give a spanking to your children, you do it yourself. Somebody else would come in the middle and do it, you'll be very upset. What kind of right does he have to give you a spanking to your child? But yet, if you're fighting somebody in the street and somebody, your friend, comes and helps you out, you'll be very grateful. Right? So he says, well, Hashem lets other people give the spanking. You should know, Hashem spanks you, he wants to spank himself. He doesn't want the goyim to give the spanking for you. Hashem is afflicting you. He wants to do himself like a father does for a child. But if they're going to come in, they're going to get punished for it. Because Hashem, that's not what Hashem wants. Even though you deserve punishment, but you should know Hashem wants to punish you only like a father does to a child, which sometimes a father gives a spanking. But he never wants somebody else to do it for you. Pasuk number 17 says, it says that you become rich and you get all this stuff, and then you say in your heart, my strength and the might of my hand did all my wealth. Why? It seems to be redundant. My strength and the might of my hand seems to be redundant. So there's a very interesting interpretation. It says, Gemara writes down, oitzem yodi means closing your hand. So it says, if you just have wealth and you say, I did it, Hashem is not so angry. But all of a sudden you say, koichi, my strength, oitzem yodi, in the fact that I'm holding my hand closed, I'm not giving tzedakah, then Hashem gets angry. Then that's not good. That's why it says both things, koichi, my strength, and oitzem yodi, and my hand. There's two interesting medrashim. Here again we're saying that Hashem got angry, Hashem didn't let me go into Israel, right? And Moses actually blames everything on the Jews, but he's saying that Moshe is saying here that Hashem forgave you, but he didn't forgive me. Basically that's what he's trying to argue the whole time. And I saw interesting Medrash. Medrash brings down that when God says to Moshe, "Lo yisavru es ha-yarden hazeh," that you're not going to cover across the Jordan, Moshe said, "Yehi Reuven v'al yomus," let Reuven live and not die. Yeah, that's one medrash. The other medrash says that b'shosh shabikesh Moshe Rabbeinu lichonas le'etz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem tells him, "You go in. You yesterday you killed the Egyptian. Now you want to go into Eretz Israel." Yeah? So we have three things that's somewhat disconnected to one another. One is when you want to go into Israel, Hashem says you're not going into Israel. Then he says Reuben should leave. And second, that the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Israel, Hashem says, "How can you go into Israel? Yesterday you killed the Egyptian, and now you're going to Israel." It's brought down that Reuben, I mentioned before in a class that Reuben had a relationship with Bila, Pileg, Shavu, the concubine of his father. And it says that Jacob listened. The Machloikis, depending on what the category of the Jews were, if the Jews had a category of Jews or Gentiles, that'll depend if he did against the law or for the law. He definitely didn't do a nice thing, but how bad his actions were will be if he was a Jew or not a Jew. Yeah, if I say he was a Jew, then technically he wasn't doing anything. He didn't do so bad because a concubine is not considered a wife. The prohibition is to sleep with the wife of your father. But if he's not a Jew, as long as they're living together, they're considered wives. So concubine has the same idea of a wife. We know that Levi had a relationship with Levi. Moses is a byproduct with Levi and his aunt. According, right? Yochebet was Levi's aunt. So Moses is the child of Levi and his aunt. So if we say the Jews have the category of a Jew, if the Jews before the Torah, we're talking about before the Torah, if the Jews before Matan Torah have the category of a Jew, then Levi did something illegal. Right, he had a relationship with his aunt. But if I say he had a category of a Gentile, then it's no big deal. You could, before there was a prohibition, you could have a relationship with your aunt. Yeah? Moses hit the Egyptian. Moses not hit the Egyptian. Moses killed the Egyptian that was hitting a Jew. The halacha is, if a Gentile is hitting a Gentile, tough luck. No big deal. You don't get in the middle. But if a Gentile is hitting a Jew, the halacha says you could kill him. So here, Moses, by killing the Gentile, by killing the Egyptian that killed the Jew, that was killing a Jew, Moses decreed in the back of his mind that we have the law of a Jew, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't have the reason to kill the Egyptian. So by doing that, automatically decrees he had the deal of a Jew. We know if he had a Jew, then comes out his lineage is not perfect. He cannot be a king of the Jews. He could be a king Chutz La'aretz, but he can't be a king of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, because he did something wrong. And according to Ramban, even the others kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, right? So they had the draft of Jews, but they kept only the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That's why he writes down that Rachel had to die before he got into Eretz Yisrael, because you can't have two sisters. So you want to go into Eretz Yisrael, God told them. How can you go into Eretz Yisrael? Yesterday you killed the Egyptian. By killing the Egyptian, you prove you're Jewish. If you're Jewish, that means you're not eligible to become king. So therefore, you cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. So all of a sudden, he says, if that is true, then Yechi Ruven Valyamos. Now, if I can get into Eretz Yisrael, that means that you are following my thought that we are laws of Jews. Then if you are laws of Jews, then Ruven didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, Ruven is allowed to live and he should not die. And another interesting thing, it's written down that there's a question if you could make, there was a question brought down, if you could make a bris mil, if you could make a cheshbon nefesh. Cheshbon nefesh means accounting on your soul every day. So it's brought down, a person should come at night and decide what he did wrong during the day. It's a question if you could do that on Shabbos or not. Because since normally that will bring you to come, to become depressed, right? So if Shabbos, you have Torah and Shabbos, so that maybe there was an idea, you shouldn't be able to do that on Shabbos. So the Brea proved, because the Pasuk brings down, I want to see who says it, I wrote down who says it. I didn't write down who says it. So it's written down, Maltem Esoras Levavchem, Pasuk number 990, Pasuk number 16 says, you should circumcise the Orla of your heart, and it should not go back, it should not be stubborn anymore. So he says, Tshuva, the Cheshbon Nefesh is considered the word language Mila, circumcised. And we know circumcision pushes Shabbos. So therefore they say, it's a clear proof you could do the Cheshbon Nefesh in Shabbos. And no problem, because Mila is Derech HaShabbos. So you're allowed to do it, and Hashem should help, should all do Tshuva, and through our Tshuva we should be able to come into be that Roim Shemoya, that Hashem should give us all the best. Another quick word from the Shema, just quick, since the tape is not finished yet, says Zavadata Mehera, says if you're not going to follow what Hashem says, Zavadata Mehera, you should lose quickly from the land that Hashem gave you. Right? That's what we say in Shema, Zavadata Mehera, my Lord, Satoeva. So the Chantov translates, Zavadata Mehera, not that you should always be lost from the land. You know what I'm saying? The Shema says, Vayim Shemoya, Zavadata Mehera, you should lose quickly from the land that Hashem gave you. So that's Chaz V'Shem, Hashem doesn't want us to be lost quickly. He says, Vavaratem Mehera, you should lose the quickly. You should do things more slowly. You shouldn't do so things, you shouldn't be so hasty. You should think about what you're doing, and then you'll be able to stay. But doesn't make Chaz V'Shem that we should completely be lost quickly from the land. You should lose the quickly. You shouldn't lose quickly, but you should lose the quickly. So Hashem should help us, should come quickly back to Eretz Yisrael, and we should lose the quickly and be able to return in time of Mashiach.